Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at Hashtag Kangas or on Instagram at Hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. So today I'm joined by another AFLW player in Tess Craven. Now, it's good to get to know these girls. It was good to get to know Tess as well. It was good to find out where she grew up and played her football, who were some of her idols growing up, how she ended up at North Melbourne, and her current season this year, which is really her first full year. Last year, she only played the one game in round one, but she got a real good crack at it this year, and we talked a lot about that, the finals games. So I won't hold you up anymore. I'll bring on Tess right now. All right, so I'm joined by my second AFLW player to come on the show. Now, I had Sarah Wright on a couple of weeks ago, Tess, so it's good to be second. So it's good to, for people to get to know you. That's why I've got you on the show. So we'll start all the way from the beginning with you, Tess. So where did you grow up and play your football?
Thanks for having me, Dean, by the way. I'm from Drysdale and I played all my junior footy in Drysdale. So from when I was about, So from about Auskick to under 15s, under 18s sort of, played footy with Drysdale, both the boys and the girls. And then, from there, played with Geelong Falcons, obviously, in the NAB League. And, yeah, so it's all been in Geelong, all in, originated in Drysdale, then Geelong. So the big smoke is still very new to me.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, it's very much a different lifestyle up this way. A question I'm going to ask you in a second. Like, who were some of your idols growing up? Being from Geelong, I'm going to guess you probably had the Gary Ablett, Tom Hawkins, and so forth.
You actually couldn't be wrong. I've grown up as a Hawthorn supporter, so Sirioli was probably my biggest idol. Had his picture on the wall and everything. a lot of Hawthorn players growing up. I grew up in that era where we won 2013 2014 2015,
so pretty good. I didn't see that coming at all. That's actually throwing me off. I thought being a Geelong girl, you probably would have been a Geelong supporter. That's an interesting, to have a hero like Cyril. Nothing is Cyril, but you're not the type of player that's similar to him. You're more of an inside sort of tough player that likes to get the football. What drew you to Cyril Rioli?
Well, I haven't always been that inside player. I think that's just kind of what you have to be in your draft year, I guess. Get the footy, be that inside midfielder. But most of my career, my junior career anyway, I don't mind a goal. I don't mind, sneaking around on the wing. But, I've grown to like the inside a lot more. But I guess you just can't help but be drawn to Cyril's talent. The way he kicks the footy and the way he moves his body, how quickly he is, how agile he is, So when you're a kid, that's what you want to be.
Fair enough. I mean, he was a very exciting sort of player, put bumps on seats, and a great talent. So yeah, nothing wrong with that. Having him as an idol growing up and having posters of him on the bedroom wall. So you've obviously gone through the junior football career. You've had a really good last year at the Geelong Falcons, averaged about 21 disposals per game. Very highly rated inside midfielder. How did you end up at North Melbourne? Did they talk to you before the draft? And sort of saying, well, if you fall to 13, we'll take you there? Did other clubs talk to you as well?
I talked to North. I talked to our list manager twice, but I never met Croc and I never met anyone else at the club, just Reese, who's our list manager. I had Richmond, Carlton, Geelong. There's one more club I'm thinking of. But, those sort of clubs spoke to me. Oh, the Saints. Yeah, the Saints. They spoke to me. I guess I had a foot injury at the time. It was the second of its kind. So I guess a lot of clubs couldn't take that risk, which I fully understand. So a lot, sort of those developing clubs really need players to step up, early in their first year, and I wasn't going to be able to do that with my injury. So now I'm very grateful that North took the chance on me, and now I'm a Roo for life if they'll have me.
Yeah, well, 100%. No, we're certainly hoping that way. I want to talk to you about your foot injury. Now, you said a lot of clubs put you off. Now, would you have been a top 10 pick if you didn't have that foot injury, or maybe even top five?
I'm not sure. I mean, I guess we'll never know. Things have panned out this way, but I genuinely have no idea. I guess we'll never know. That's the beauty of, things happen as they happen. And you can think about that stuff, think, could I...
Yeah. Now, I guess it doesn't really matter in the end. You ended up at North Melbourne. Look, it's worked out pretty well for us at the end of the day, because, like, you sort of said a foot injury, but you played that round one game against Geelong in your debut game. So I assume you would have had a decent pre-season as well, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. That's a funny one. I reckon the reason that was my debut, in all honesty, was because we were hit by COVID just before round one, just like a lot of teams. And I was there. I didn't have COVID.
I remember those times.
It was an amazing experience, obviously. But I reckon that's why I debuted when I did. I don't think I was ready physically or mentally for that debut, but I'm still very blessed for the opportunity. That's how I think it actually happened and how it was supposed to happen.
Yeah, no, and that's a really good way of looking at it in that regard. So, yeah, I mean, I remember that I think they had the top-up players just in case you did if teams did go through a lot of COVID, you had an extra four or five players on the list and so forth just in case. Yeah, and a lot of teams did go through certain stages where they were struggling to field teams and so forth. It was a strange year, that one, but it doesn't really matter. So who are some of the players or players that still take you under their wing at the club?
The first one who pops to mind is probably Emma Carney, the skipper. I think we're very similar in a lot of ways and how we approach our footy. She definitely looked after me. She still looks after me, but just, slips in a bit of making fun of me and teasing now because she knows I can take it. But in all honesty, all the older girls are very, very good with the young ones and make us feel very, very welcome from the moment we enter the club. So, yeah, but she's probably the first person I think of.
No, very good. Yeah, oh, well, she's got that leadership role. I mean, she's got a job at in the men's team now. I think she's one of the best captains in the competition. And that's even been proven, been named All-Australian captain a number of times. So, yeah, she seems like a fine wine, gets better with age as well. So who are some of your best mates at the club?
I guess I can't really go – probably when you say that, probably the first couple of people that come to my mind. Erica O'Shea, especially, she came over this year and I would stay the night in Melbourne Monday nights because we had Monday, Tuesday training. So there's no point me driving home and then driving up the next day. So I'd stay in Melbourne and she was in Melbourne. And a lot of the time we both had nothing to do. So we would go into town together or something. And she's a lovely girl. So I think everyone should be best mates with Ricky. And then Bella Eddy, I guess we're just two peas in a pod. We're very similar in the way we play our footy, and we both grew up barracking for Hawthorn, absolute footy nuffies. So yeah, there's a lot in common there. So I think we thrive off each other. But yeah, she's again another awesome girl. So yeah.
Yeah, you girls. Before I get into positions and what position you play this year, but you girls asked what position. Positions are halfway through the year this year. You took her position on the wing and she took your position on the half forward flank. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say. I had trained most of pre-season in the wing, actually, and then the forward switch happened for some reason. And then we got halfway through the season and I'm pretty sure Bella was like, I want to play forward. And I didn't explicitly say that I wanted to play wing, but it was a good trade, and I think we're both happy in our positions now. But that's not to say that I'd never go forward again, or she'd never go to the wing again. It just depends on the day, depends on the conditions and what our team needs us to do.
Yeah, no, and that's fair enough, I suppose. Yeah, it seemed to work out pretty well for both years. Like she turned into a really good small forward, and you seem to find a lot more consistency on the wing as well, and made the position your own with Amy Smith on the other wing as well. You mentioned Erica O'Shea. Now she seems like a really fun-loving girl, I really to say the least. She seems pretty relaxed, judging by the social media photos and so forth and videos they do of her. Does she like a drink as well? I'm guessing because she's Irish that she probably goes all right with the drink.
I actually can't answer that question. See, I'm not much of a drinker really, and I don't think I've really seen her. Yeah, really drink too much. So that yet to be determined at this stage. But that's just my evidence. You know, if you go talk to someone else, then you know you never know what they'll say. So, yeah. But yeah, she's a lovely girl. She's very bubbly and very funny and just so nice. She could talk to a brick wall. So, yeah, no, she's great.
No, that's awesome. No, she I'm glad she settled in pretty well too, because she only moved to Melbourne pretty much within a month of the footy season starting, and she seemed to settle in really well with Vicky Wall. So how did you see this season at North Melbourne and your role within the team? We just talked about it briefly. Like you started half forward, and you played okay there. I mean, but I think you really made the wing your own this year. And you certainly found some consistency. And I think your breakout game was against the Western Bulldogs. You had a pretty good game there. You kicked a pretty important goal in the last quarter, a little snap. You found space where there was none. How did you see it anyway?
I guess, yeah, going into this season, you don't ever really get two seasons in one year. And I think, you know, with coming off my injury for the first season, I sort of saw this second one as an opportunity to really show, or at least show a glimpse of what I can actually do. And so, you know, had a bit of a pre-season, short but sweet. And then, yeah, like I said, most of the pre-season on the wing, and then played forward the two practice matches we had. And then, yeah, that was going all right. But I guess I wanted to get the footy more. And I sort of felt like I was just not redundant, but like I feel like I wasn't contributing as much as I would like up in the forward line. And I guess, yeah, that swap with Bella, she's turned into a really good goal scorer. So I think, again, that's a really good choice for our team. And personally for me, I'm happy. I like to be around the ball a bit more. So while there's a lot of running in the wing, if my goal is to one day be an inside midfielder, then I guess that's a good place to start. And yeah, I just really enjoyed, you know, being around the ball more, being able to link up play, you know, run in defense, run in attack. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. And I guess this year I sort of actually felt like I contributed more to the team, you know, week in, week out, instead of just, you know, making up the numbers. And that's not saying that like non-selective people just make up the numbers, but that's personally how I felt about my position, which is probably overly self-critical, but that's a habit of mine. But yeah, no, I thought this year was an improvement, but still a long, long way away from where I want to be. But you know, baby steps, and I'll get there eventually.
Yeah, I mean, we might as well go to that. Like, what were your expectations coming into the season? Like, was it just trying to establish yourself into the team? Obviously, it was really your first full season. You had, how do you call it? Like two seasons in 1 year, and you only played the one game, and yeah, couldn't get yourself into the team again. But I guess the good thing, like we had lost a lot of players, and I guess that brought opportunity to players like yourself, like Amy Smith, a number of others as well. You know, Bella already established herself as a forward, and yeah, I mean, yeah, we lost Aria Bannister, and it just gave opportunities to younger girls and Irish girls as well. So yeah, I mean, getting back to you, was it just trying to establish yourself and get a run of games into yourself?
Obviously, if I look at it face value, it's to play as many games as I can, and to play every game this season. That's obviously a massive achievement. But again, it just comes down to me. Whenever I'm part of a team, I just want to contribute to it in a positive way. So I guess that just meant, like some games, I obviously didn't have as big a contribution as other games. But I'm putting myself, if I'm playing that game, I'm putting myself in the best position to contribute positively. So it was mainly just to be a key member of the team, or yeah, a key cog of the team. Again, still under development, so we'll see how we go this year. But yeah, I'm again happy with the improvement, but not satisfied.
No, and that's fair enough. It's I guess it's that expectation that you put on yourself and the pressure you put on yourself that will make you drive yourself further. And our biggest critic is often ourselves. We're always, if anyone has played competitive sports, I've read a lot of autobiographies, and Michael Jordan was his own biggest critic, and always strive to improve and so forth each day. But I mean, that's just part and parcel. Like, you would have had your end of season interviews with coaches and all that. How's that? How's the feedback with that for yourself personally?
Pretty much kind of what I'm saying now, and that
Okay.
like where they're very happy with how I've been able to, go from playing one game to a full season plus three finals. But they know me and they know that I wouldn't be satisfied with that. So I've just got to push further into becoming, I want to be an inside midfielder one day. And Jasmine Garner, Ashley Olsen, and Jenna Brewton aren't going to be there forever. So there needs to be a next generation. And so yeah, it was more just, I mean, personally for me, a couple of my goals are just improving my conditioning, and fitness and strength and all that sort of stuff. And then just working on little, midfield crafts and, stoppages and stuff like that. So yeah, they were happy, but they were like, we see you as being, here. And I was like, same, I agree. I want to improve to be there. So yeah.
No, fair enough. So first day of pre-season, you'll just go up to Jasmine Garner and tell her maybe you should go on the wing and I'll go in the centre square this year. Is that your message or?
No. I think I'll let her have another season in the midfield and get some Brownlow votes she actually deserves, and then yeah, and then maybe I'll kick her off after that.
Yeah, well, she was equal with you in the first 4 innings, the Brownlow. So, yeah, no, we don't want to get into that discussion. But yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a topic for my podcast, really. I've talked about it to death before, so yeah, it was a bit of a strange one, but yeah, it is what it is, as your dog agrees with me. So, yeah,
Yeah,
no,
he's a bit chatty, isn't
yeah,
he?
that's all right. Nothing wrong with that. So, I want to talk to you about, like, obviously. We'll talk about the first before the finals, first 10 games of the season. Obviously, finishing eighth. Were you girls a bit disappointed finishing eighth? Or was it just a case of, probably, I mean, we did have the toughest fixture. We seemed to play the top teams, and we lost to them, all in close games. How did you girls see the season, like, from rounds 1 to 10?
I guess going into this season, much as going into last season, our goal is to be premiers. And so we're at the point of if it's anything less than that, we're not fully, we're proud, but we're again not satisfied. So yeah, it was, I guess going in, we had changed a few things with our game plan, and obviously our personnel. So going into it, yeah, I guess we're just, aiming to be a competitor. And then, we lose to the typical teams. We lose to Brisbane when we shouldn't have. We lost by 2 points to Melbourne. We weren't our best against the Crows. So it's just like, I guess it was just sort of the same old thing. And then when we drew with Richmond, I think we knew we were better than that. And we paid the price for it. We were eighth. And all the talk of the fixture, how we had the toughest fixture and whatever, I still think the top eight panned out how it would have anyway. So I still think the best eight teams made the top eight. And I guess that was why finals was so good for us, in that we actually got to prove that we were a competitor. We got to the top four teams left with Melbourne, Adelaide, and Brisbane. Obviously not the result we wanted in the prelim, but I think that's just shown us that we actually can compete, and we know what we need to improve so we can go further next year.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we did have a good finals campaign. I mean, so it made the ladder position really irrelevant at the end of the day, finishing eighth. I mean, at the end of the day, we played Melbourne in prelim and we're only a couple of points behind at three-quarter time. Right in the game, probably should have been up, really. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, yeah, I mean, we'll go to the first finals game against Geelong. Obviously lucky to escape that one. A very dour affair and no goals after quarter time. How did you see it out on the field yourself? Was it just a case of trying to hang on or, yeah, it was? How did you see it anyway?
It honestly felt like a rugby game. Like, yeah, it was just going back and forward, barely any marks, barely any, like, proper kicks. They were just scrubby kicks. And I guess we were still trying to win. That was our goal. We were still trying to figure out a way to get through their defense and win. Probably for the second, the third, and half of the fourth. And then I think we realized that we are actually in the better position. We have to hold on. And I actually spent a lot of that game on the bench just because a lot of girls did, just because of, like, there was no stoppages, there was no goals. Like, it was very hard to get on and off. So it felt like I was watching a rugby game, but I couldn't do anything. So, yeah, it was very nerve-wracking. But honestly, at the end of the day, sometimes we've lost close games like that. We've had our heart broken by close games with that. And to actually get one, like, people say it was a horrible game to watch and the scoreline, well, whatever. At the end of the day, we had more points than the other team. So sometimes you've got to grit your teeth and get through a game. And I think that gave us the confidence to then go into the next week and show that, you know, get that past 2 years out in the first final. So I think that got the monkey off the back and freed us up a bit. And, yeah, I mean, not the greatest game of footy ever played, but still an important game for us.
Yeah, I didn't care, to be honest with you. We got through, so that was the most important thing. And I think we learnt a lot of lessons. We didn't play the way we wanted to play that game. Is that probably fair to say?
No, not at all.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was very yeah, I mean, it was played in our back half. Would, yeah, I mean, they never really looked like scoring a goal, probably till the last 5 minutes. They had a couple of shots at goal. But, yeah, I think we repelled their attacks quite well. We just couldn't get the ball past our centre square, really. It was just back and forth, back and forth. They'd bomb it in. We'd get it back out and they'd bomb it in. But at the end of the day, like you said, who cares? We've been on the other end of some results like that. So to get one going our way in an important game was yeah, it was quite refreshing and quite pleasing, to be honest with you. So we've also learned a lot of lessons. And then the next week we go into Richmond. There's a lot of controversy during the week. Brendan Gale sort of saying, their CEO's saying, oh, well, you know, we're not moving the game from Punt Road. The game was sold out within 12 or 13 minutes. I checked half an hour into it, couldn't get a ticket. And yeah, it was only about, what, 2,500 the capacity or something like that. Obviously, that's fired you girls up. I talked to Sarah Wright about this a few weeks ago now. She sort of said there was it probably added a bit more spice. What about yourself? Did you take it a bit personally with how Richmond were sort of acting and wanting to play the game at Punt Road?
I think it just sort of settled. It sort of just, you know, put that fire in our bellies a bit more. I mean, after having that, what was it, round 10 game? Yeah.
Yeah.
Draw. We were already fuming because we knew we didn't play our best and almost cost us finals. And then for them to, you know, I just got a bit frustrated in terms of, I don't really care about the crowd I play in front of, but as soon as people who want to go can't go, I don't think that's fair. You would never see this in any men's sport. There would never be a restriction on the crowd. So I didn't understand it, and I thought the AFL would move it. And then when Richmond were being staunch and not moving and saying, we want to play it here, it's our home ground, it was just like a moment of us like, yeah, right, we'll beat you on your home deck then, if that's what you want. And it was funny, all the stats flying around how we'd had a better record than they had at Punt Road. It just, you know, just fueled the fire. And there was no way in the world that we were going to lose that day. The you know, the vibes in the rooms beforehand and throughout training all week, yeah, they were going to have to pull out absolutely everything they ever had to stop us. But yeah, nah, at the end of the day, when you got Jazzy Garner and she's going as she's going, you just, yeah, nah, it was a great day. No disrespect to Richmond, of course. I don't think those girls had a say in what was happening for them. But yeah, for us, it just gave us that extra little bit of something to fight for.
Yeah, I mean, were you confident going into that game? Because I, as a supporter, I was quite confident because I kind of knew what was coming Jasmine Garner's way. I knew they were going to put a tag on her, but I felt like we came up with really good plans. It was probably the best game I've seen the girls play. I mean, I know the Collingwood game a few weeks ago was quite good as well, especially at Victoria Park. But is that the best? I mean, you've only had one season, but is that the best game you've been part of?
Yeah, without a doubt, that's the best game I've been a part of, just the occasion. And the way we came out from the get-go and we played our way and it didn't matter what they threw at us, we threw something back. And, yeah, obviously with that tag, we knew what was coming and we knew that, you know, how well Jammin was tagged in that round 10 game. We knew we weren't going to let that happen again. She's our teammate and we need to back her up more. And so, yeah, we just went out with exact plans and we followed them through. And it was just, I think we all just had immense confidence in ourselves that we could do it. And, yeah, there was never a doubt. I reckon after halftime, there was never a doubt that this was ours and we weren't going to let it slip.
Yeah, definitely. No, and that was quite evident. I think the game was pretty much over halfway through the second quarter, just the way we're playing, and we're getting some. I think we're already 3 goals up, and yeah, kicked away pretty much halfway through the second quarter. What was I think Sarah Wright told me there was a cheeky message from Darren Crocker after the game about Richmond as well.
Oh, there was something said. Yeah, I don't remember what he said exactly, but there was something said. Yeah, you can't help it. I mean, if you're going to, like, it's his job to fire us up, and he usually gives us stories and stuff in the week, but he didn't have to give us too much of a story. We were already fired up. And then when you get that sort of message from your coach after you've performed, like, it was awesome. I can't remember exactly what he said, but it probably was something good.
yeah, I'm sure it was. And Sonia Hood at the BNF night sort of said some words to that effect as well, didn't she? I think from memory.
Yeah, I think everyone who spoke, I think it was Carney, Croc, and Sonia all had a little, you know, what do you say? Had a little go at the whole home ground thing. But I mean, come on, it's probably the best game in our history, so it'd be silly of us not to.
Yeah, I mean, it's all a bit of fun and banter at the end of the day. So you got to have a sense of humour about these things. So nothing wrong with that. If they, I mean, at the end of the day, they're the ones that created this. So, yeah, they're going to have to cop it. I mean, we move on to the next week against Melbourne. Now, third quarter, obviously, it wasn't probably... we were dominating, not on a scoreboard. I think we're still cut points down. I think it was 18 inside 50s to 2 in the third quarter. Quite tough conditions, very swirly and windy. I remember texting my friend Claire at three-quarter time thinking, I think we might have blown this because I just felt like Melbourne had, they were going to come hard at us in the last quarter. What were you feeling at three-quarter time? Did you feel like, I reckon we've hurt ourselves here, or did you believe that... if we keep going, eventually we're going to score some goals.
I wish I could say that's what I thought, but you can't help but have that. We've been there before. We've had all those inside 50s and not capitalised, you know, that Brisbane game. And I had faith. I was like, the first 5 minutes will show me if we're still in this one. And unfortunately... it was just sort of it just comes to when we don't win, it's most of the time it's because we don't play our way. And I think that was just, it was another time it happened, and unfortunately it sucks, the timing, but it'll teach us a lot and it'll fuel that fire in us again, that we know our system, we know it works, and there's no reason to go away from it. But, yeah, unfortunately, that's just how footy works sometimes. I mean, we had a great week the week before. And, it all gives us that extra little something to fight for next time we're there.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, does this, obviously it gives you belief that you can go that one step further. Is it just a case of that, like just, I guess, taking those opportunities to take the next step and get into a grand final?
I think yes. I think we've got everything sorted. I think we've got the plan. I think we've got the personnel, and I think we've got the drive and the attitude that's necessary. It's just a matter of actually executing it how we want to execute it every game, not 6 out of 10 or 6 out of 12 games of the season. So I think we know that. And I think, again, like I said, with that fire in the belly, I think that's given us all the motivation we need to make sure that we execute our plan properly every game consistently to, you know, perform as the team we know we can perform as.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's a bit hard for you girls. Like, you can't sort of be off for a week because it is only a 10-week season. It makes it really difficult, doesn't it? Like, if you have sometimes you're just going to have poor performances, especially round one. You see a lot of upsets in AFL men's, AFL women's. You'll get the odd upset as well. I mean, and it kind of puts you a fair way behind the eight ball, doesn't it?
Oh, just another reason why we need a longer season.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, yeah, you can say that, but I mean, if we want to be the best of the best, we've seen Adelaide do it, we've seen Brisbane do it, we've seen Melbourne do it. They played consistently good and when they needed to. And I'm not saying you have to be perfect every time. We weren't perfect against Port Adelaide. We weren't perfect against Sydney. But the challenge is not just being able to pull through against those bottom teams that we should be beating. It should be those teams we're up against when we're up against Melbourne and Adelaide and Brisbane. We could play our way, we perform our best, and then let the result take care of itself. I think, it just comes down to executing our plan properly when the day comes.
Yeah, I mean, I know we didn't beat any of those teams, but I felt like, it showed in the prelim that we're a lot closer to these teams now than we probably were at the start of the season. I mean, I know we lost to Melbourne by 2 points in round two, but I think they kicked pretty poorly from that day. And, whereas in the prelim, I felt like for the first three quarters, we were better than them. We probably should have been, 10 points up or something like that, to that effect, which might have meant a different story. Do you feel like the gap is a lot closer now to, like, a Brisbane, Melbourne and the Adelaide Crows that we can, if we played them again, if the season went for another 4 to 6 weeks, we might have, the way we're going, do you think we would have knocked them off?
I think we should have beat Brisbane that round's happy game, without a doubt. And I think that just shows how far we've come. Maybe against Adelaide in round three, we were beaten that day. And I think we made the changes through the season that very quickly turned us into, a maybe team to a competitor team to a prelim final team. I definitely think the gap's been closed significantly. But now we just need to jump that gap. And I think that's what this preseason's for. And then, I can't wait for next season.
Sounds good. Whenever that is, I suppose. So we still don't have a date or anything like that. I mean, we might as well talk about that. Like, so what's has the club given you a plan over the Christmas period and into January, February to keep yourself fit? And so when first day of preseason comes, you are actually in pretty good condition, or are they just sort of let you go over this time?
No, we've been given a program. We've been given a program from the first week that our season finished. So it's just a collective mindset now from the group, not just the playing group, but the staff and support staff and everything, that we know what we need to do. And that means working hard now and not trying to play catch up when preseason, whenever it rolls around. So we've been given a program since the very first week after we lost, and go from there, I guess. So that just means, by the time whenever preseason is, probably what, May next year, we're already primed. And that gives us time to work on our game plan and work on those little things that are going to make us a genuine competitor.
Yeah, no, that sounds good, I suppose. And yeah, well, yeah, like you said, we could be May, it could be March, who knows? They still haven't decided anything, so we'll see how we go. So I want to know a bit more. Like, we've talked enough footy, I suppose, Tess. So I want to know a little bit about you. Now, you've just recently turned 19 years old on the 23rd of December, only a few days ago. How was your birthday, first off?
Oh, my birthday was fine. I worked on my birthday, so
Yeah.
yeah, I worked till 3 and then finished and went and had dinner with my loved ones and yeah, it was a very chill day and that's probably how I prefer it, just with the people closest to me and yeah, it was
No,
good.
fair
Thank you
enough.
for asking.
No, that's all right. No, that's all right. I mean, I guess you get twice as many presents, wouldn't you? Like, being Christmas time as well.
Oh, I love that question. Twice as many presents. I just get presents for my birthday and for Christmas, like every other person.
Oh, really?
You get presents for your birthday, you get presents for Christmas. I get the same, even though there's only a day. It just makes it a very exciting 3 days. And then I have the rest of the year to think about those 3 days.
Oh, that's true. And not a big celebration as far as drinking or anything like that, or
I'm not a big drinker. I don't really like drinking too much. So no, none of that. None of
yeah.
that behavior.
No, I was gonna that was gonna lead to my next question, because I spoke to Claire Cozzi a few weeks ago on, and she sort of asked, who do you think went hardest at the BNF? And my initial thought was, you're a young girl, you look like I can't, from Geelong. I thought, oh, I reckon Tess Craven's gone fairly hard. So obviously you haven't.
I don't think you could have been more wrong. I didn't drink a drop of alcohol that night. I drove home at like 11 o'clock. I don't know if I can tell you who did go the hardest, but yeah, definitely not me. You're barking up the wrong tree there.
Okay, well, no one listens to me podcasts anyway, so you can't tell me. So.
Everyone had fun and
Geez,
yeah,
keeping
that's
it
all.
tight-lipped.
Yep, that's just yeah, nah, it was a great night, but yeah, there was drinking. I just didn't partake in
Yeah, no, fair enough.
it.
So, I mean, outside of football, what are your other passions in life?
I used to play cricket a lot when I was younger, from about 12 to would have been 2021. How old was I then? 12 to like 17, I played cricket. Yeah, I loved cricket. It was just something to do in the summer. But then obviously had to give it up just with footy. You know, we don't know when our season's going to be. And it used to be in summer, which is when cricket was played. So it just, you know, maybe one day I'll return to cricket. But still love watching the Aussies, watching the tests, and obviously the women's team. What else do I like? I'm starting uni next year at Melbourne Uni. I'm studying a Bachelor of Science to hopefully become a vet one day.
Nice.
And yeah, I mean, I'm obviously with the program, I'm really getting into, I really, you know, I really do enjoy the time away from the team and, you know, getting to work on myself, work on my fitness. But yeah, I'm a pretty chill person. I don't do crazy things. I am a very routine-based person and yeah, don't mind a night, and just like a night in and yeah, just chilling out. I'm not a party girl.
No, that's fair enough. No, yeah, no, I didn't draw that impression from you. I just felt like you, at the BNF, you might have had a few, but clearly, you're a lot more mature than your age shows. So that's a pretty good sign too. So it means you're probably going to go a fair way in life. So, and yeah, it sounds like you've got a plan after football. Obviously, want to become a vet.
Yeah, I mean that's the closest thing I can think of wanting to do with my life now. So I'm heading on that path, and I mean we'll see how we go. But it's yeah, like I said, seems like the best thing for me at this point. You never know, things could change, but yeah.
No, that sounds good. Well, I think that's all I got for you, Tess. Unless you wanted to add anything else.
No, I just wanted to ask, were you at the BNF?
No, I wasn't. I couldn't make it at the moment, so. But I'm definitely going to try for next year, 100%. So,
Yeah, righto.
which will be. I asked my wife to come with me, but she wasn't keen. So I didn't. Yeah, I was kind of like, do I go by myself? And then something came up anyway. It was it was the day before my birthday, so I had something else on. So I just thought, I'll give it a miss this year, but I'm definitely keen for next year. It would be it sounds like it would be a fun night. So yeah, but we'll see how we go. Well, anyway, Tess, it's been a pleasure getting to know you. It's nice to, get to know you and Sarah Wright, who I've had on previously. So, yeah, good luck for New Year's, I guess, and for the rest of whenever next season comes along. I mean, I might even chat to you before then, see how you're going. But, it's been a real pleasure getting to know you. And, I'll hopefully chat to you one day in the future.
Thanks for having me, Dean. It's been an absolute pleasure.
So I really appreciate Tess Craven for coming on the show. That's the second girl I've had on the show. Hopefully I can get more in the future. I'm not too sure. Certainly see what happens with that. But it's good to get to know these girls outside of a football field, because that's all we see. So it's good to know what they're like off the field and what makes them tick. And it's good. I really enjoy the chat about things like the Richmond game, the build-up during that and whole Brendan Gale thing and what they're thinking and feeling. And just sort of knowing, that Melbourne game, sort of asking her how she felt at three-quarter time. And even as she even Tess sort of said that, in the back of my mind, I was sort of thinking that maybe we have blown it. So, it's really good to get to know, these girls on a personal level and on a professional level as well. Thanks to all you lovely listeners for all the likes, retweets, all the comments you guys and girls are doing for the show. I put out a tweet the other day when I put out my best 23 for 2023, and a lot of you guys put in the comments your best 23 for 2023. So, I might even do an episode next week where I'll go through, each person, and talk about your teams in the comments. I might even put another tweet out and just, look at your version ones of 20, of the 2023 for 23 for 2023. Sorry. That's very hard to say sometimes when you've had a very long day. Anyways, that's it for this episode. Like I said, I'll be back next week. I'm not too sure what I'm going to do yet, but I'll do another episode. And yeah, that's it. So today, I will leave a shout out to Braden Pruce. Bye for now.